And if it doesn't lead you to Calvary, don't take it. Don't participate. If your mind is on the stock market or some parking lot or car sale or some other event of the week, and you take that cup and bread and your thoughts are away out yonder, no, this is to lead you to Calvary, to the site of the cross. Not only the location of the cross, but to consider it with the eye of faith.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of coming to bring you the greatest message in all the world. The message of God's book, the Bible, the Word of God. And I trust that today there will be a word for your soul that will bring you into a heavenly plane, out of this earthy into the heavenly, out of the materialistic into the mighty, glorious grace of the Lord Jesus. I hope today that your faith is strong and you're resting in the Lord Jesus, and that your hope and confidence is in the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, and that one day he's coming again for his church. And today we're going to be looking at the communion table, remembering Calvary. There ought to be a regular remembering of what Christ accomplished at the cross for his people. And may the Lord minister to your heart today.
Let's hear the Lord's word as we read along together in this Old Testament book of Joshua, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every man, every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and led them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests, in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle. to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned over unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. And the Lord came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. May the Lord bless this exciting chapter of his word to your heart today. And I pray that he will minister to your heart and soul. You'll notice in verse 9, let's go to Joshua chapter 4 here in verse 9, that Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. That's a kind of a complicated statement, but you get the idea. The very footprints in the riverbed, which would have been soft and messy and pliable, you could have seen the footprints right there in the riverbed, where the priests who carried the ark, adding more weight, driving their feet into the riverbed, on that very spot, they were to build the memorial. Right there. It had a mark. Presence in the very place where it took place. It's a bit like the last spike where the engineers who were laying track coming from the west met with those coming from the east. You have to do it in the spot where it happened. If you do it a mile away, it loses the insignificance. You can't do it in Toronto, you can't do it in Vancouver. You have to do it on the spot. Likewise, our memorial leads us to Calvary, the place where Christ died for us, to the very imprint of the cross on that Golgotha's brow, Gordon's Calvary, as it is today known, to distinguish it from the more touristy attraction or the more Roman Catholic religious attraction. Gordon's Calvary is the biblical scholar's identified place. Right there. Oh, one day I might go and stand there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just to stand in the very spot where the cross of Jesus stood, where his blood flowed out for my redemption, to stand on the spot. And these thoughts, as we take this communion today, lead us to Calvary. That's what it's to do. That's the nature of it. And if it doesn't lead you to Calvary, don't take it. Don't participate. If your mind is on the stock market or some parking lot or car sale or some other event of the week, and you take that cup and bread and your thoughts are away out yonder. No. This is to lead you to Calvary. Calvary, to the site of the cross, not only the location of the cross, but to consider it with the eye of faith and rejoice in it and rest in it and take your delight right there. These are given by God to lead us to the cross afresh every time we commune in this manner. And so let that happen in your heart today as you would take the cup and bread and join the saints here in this church to remember what Jesus has instituted. My next point here, as I draw these parallels between the stones, the marker that was made to remember that great event of drying up the water at Jordan, and its parallel to Calvary, is to think about the value of a memorial. What am I benefiting by being there? Or what am I missing by not being there? Well, let's go to verse 21 in Joshua 4 and see firstly that it is a teaching tool. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask you their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over. And so you tell the story. You rehearse the event. You give glory to God. This is a miracle. This is God's doing. And there is, therefore, great value in the rehearsing and the ministry of it. And so here today, as we take these symbols and as we remember Calvary, as we get our hearts and minds fixed, this is a teaching tool. This is something that's to help the preacher. Help the preacher to help the hearer. This is an object lesson. We can build the picture of the cross. We can identify its place, the people that were there, the sufferings of our Savior in his own body. We can draw the picture of it as a teaching tool. Do you remember those days at school when your teacher took you on an outing? Now, she didn't just take you for a walk, it was an educational outing. And whether it was into some historic place or into the woods, a nature trail or whatever it might be, usually on the day before you have the pep talk, you know, want to get you interested in this history, want to set it up and have you to understand about these events. Tomorrow we're going to see it. And that picks up the interest in the classroom immediately. Tomorrow, we're going. Get your boots on and your coat and your hat and we're off to this outing tomorrow. What is it again we're going to see? Well, you tell the history, you tell the story. And it's all theory to them at that point. They've never been there, they've never seen it. But tomorrow we're going to see it. And so you know what kids are. They are excited, they climb on the bus, they have great fun on the way, and then they go on the nature outing and they follow their teacher and you point out this and you show them things. And of course, they're all Google-eyed and you're not sure just how much they get. That's the object lesson. But then it's the next day back in class that you give them the details. Now, what they have seen, here's the meaning of it all. And so the value of these symbols, as we today administer the communion table, the value of it is to lead you to Calvary. It is to expound, explain, and set before you the wonders of the atoning work, the redeeming work of Christ upon the cross. What a great lesson. What great value it is. Now you can see that there was a lot of emphasis upon the children here in Joshua's day. And we need that emphasis too. I would encourage children to be in the communion service. I'm glad for every boy and girl that are here today. And while you may not be partaking, yet you learn. You learn and hear the story. And as you grow up over the years, you're going to hear it 12 times a year. And if you are, say you're 6 years old now, you'll hear it 120 times before you are the age to take communion in this church. And if you have a profession of faith in Christ, we will rejoice in the day that you actually take that bread and cup and you participate with God's people. But you must be taught what it's all about. You don't come to church to be entertained, but to be educated, informed on the greatest event of human history, the death of the Son of God to take away the sins of man. And then when you see your mother and father, or adults you know in the church, and they take that bread and cup, what a teaching lesson. My mom and dad not only come to hear about this, but they believe it. They are actually showing their faith by taking the cup and bread. They are demonstrating to all and to me and to our family that mom and dad are Christians, that they depend and they delight in the cross and the blood of Jesus. It's not just words, it's faith and action. And that becomes the sweetness as boys and girls take the sit in the communion service. So it's a teaching tool for us all, for boys and girls. And then down in verse 24, you'll see that it's a witnessing tool. It says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. What a mighty miracle it was, this crossing the Jordan. Some would argue that it's even a more clear and more easily defended miracle than the Red Sea. Water heaping up on one side, and there's none here at all. What forces are at work here? What a miracle it was. And we get an opportunity to tell the world of the mightiness of our God. If you look at chapter 5, verse 1, you'll notice that the other nations, they sat up. Came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters. What? How did that happen? They trusted in their God. Their God did this. That's their Jehovah God. And as this story is rehearsed again and again, the ungodly have to sit up and say, "You mean their God can do that?" And as we rehearse Calvary, as we communicate and take this cup and bread as believers, and maybe you say to someone, "I was at church and we had communion this week." You're a Christian? You believe that? You believe that God sent his Son from heaven to die on the cross, to be a substitutionary sacrifice, to take away the sin of man? You actually believe that? That becomes now our witness to the world. Yes. And I took that cup and I took that bread because they are symbols of the event, the historic event of Christ's death on that cross. And I take all the benefits and all the blessings and all the promises that come to me. Can anyone deny that there was a man called Jesus who died on a cross outside Jerusalem in AD 33? You just try denying that. You Google that and see what happens. The world's research is in. The Jews who cried out, "Crucify him," recorded it. The Romans who sent their centurion with his men to do the deed of execution recorded it. The Christians who looked and beheld the sufferings of Jesus, when he rose from the dead, they went forth preaching it, even at the cost of their lives. They were willing to die for the history of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so this is a great witness to the world. It's a mighty witness to the world. Nobody can deny the fact. Nobody can deny the history. But you actually believe he did it for you? That's a Christian, a Christ one, a follower, a believer on the Lord Jesus. And of course, it is a timeless memorial. This will never be erased from the face of world history. And as long as the world stands, Calvary's history will stand. And this gospel will be preached to the end of the world. Jesus said that. Indeed, he will not return until every nation has heard this great account. And so there is tremendous value. It's a bolster to faith that the Lord is the one who delivers. It strengthens our faith. This is our God. This is our Savior. On the judgment day, you will be asked what you have done with this memorial. Could you imagine if the Israelites had taken away those stones and denied it all and said, well, we really crossed over on stepping stones. It was no miracle. And of course, the lie would be perpetuated from generation to generation. What indignity to God. What grief to the God who performed the miracle. And of course, today, Calvary is sought to be explained away. And on the judgment day, the question will be, did you believe on my Son? And did you put your faith and hope in him? So today, do not question. Do not doubt what Christ has accomplished. But come to partake, to rejoice and rest in Jesus' blood. His sacrifice to make reconciliation and to bring you to be at peace with God. Atonement, at one meant to make you at one with God. That's the glory of this gospel. I would you gloried in the cross today and took this cup and bread as a believer to honor the Lord in your remembrance of him.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and as our name, so we do. We take the Bible and we let it speak. We read the scriptures. We explain the scriptures. We expound its interpretation. And then we must apply that to the heart. Preaching must be to the heart. Now, of course, it's to the mind, and it must be understandable, but it also needs to be relevant and personal, so that it reaches the very inner recess of the soul. Now, why is this Bible so loved by God's people, but so hated by the ungodly? Attacked from all quarters and giving no quarter, the Bible has an Ishmaelite experience. Its hand is against every man, and every man's hand is against it. But wonder of wonders, it continues to dwell in the midst of the brethren. Princes, philosophers, prelates, politicians, and poets have all conspired against it. It has been insulted by the scorn of fools. It has become the jest of infidels and the joke of skeptics. It has been assailed consistently and persistently by professed scholars and has been the butt of the critic. Assaulted by every known plan of hell, it has come forth unscathed from the inferno. Like the three Hebrew children, it has been in the fire, and like them, it has been wonderfully preserved, and there is not a smell of burning upon it. The fire is yet to be lit that can destroy it, the steel is yet to be forged that can scar it, the weapon is yet to be devised that can overthrow it. The scholarship is yet to be developed that can discredit it. The science is yet to be created that can demolish it. The plan is yet to be devised that can annihilate it. The cunning of hell and the craft of the earth have combined against the Bible, but it stands unmoved. For it is, as W.W. Gladstone, one of England's greatest premiers, has described it, the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. And there I end my quote from Dr. Ian Paisley's book on Why I Believe the Bible. I'm so thankful to be in a church and denomination that believes this Bible from cover to cover. It doesn't matter what minister or candidate for the ministry or student pastor, every man believes this book. And our burden is to preach it. And I trust that here on these programs that you will come to love the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that you might be turned from a Bible hater to a Bible lover, from a Bible scorner to a Bible scholar, one who studies, meditates, and lets this Word dwell in you richly. That's what we're commanded to do. So join us here on these programs, week by week, day by day, as we bring the message of the Bible to you. Tell your friends, and of course we love to hear from you, if you can send us an email or give us a phone call or just for a chat. Give me a call and let us encourage one another in the Lord. Stay tuned now for these closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.